Good morning, Fran.
Good morning, David.
So I'm talking this morning with Fran Kuman, who's the director of the Philadelphia Theater Initiative, which is one of seven initiatives at the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage in Philadelphia. And
that's
Fran,
right.
You,
I'd love to tell our listeners what those seven initiatives are.
Yeah, could you give us a sense of this so that we can understand why it is that you guys have been so invested in the Intrinsic Impact Study in Philadelphia?
Absolutely. The center not only supports theater, but there are other initiatives in music, in dance, in exhibitions, in heritage programs, a cultural management initiative, and also a multidisciplinary fellowship program. And our center supports artists and cultural organizations in southeastern Pennsylvania, whose work is distinguished by excellence, by imagination, and also courage. And with our support, these artists and these organizations bring about 1,000 public performances and exhibitions to the greater Philadelphia area. As a center, we also organize and present about 100 events each year, as part of our focus on critical discourse, and that's essential, discourse that's essential to the individual fields that we serve. And among our objectives are to ensure that Philadelphia's most talented cultural leaders are connected to national and international dialogues about advancing cultural practice, and we also work to capture, analyze, and document and to share information about adventurous and imaginative practices. So our work with the Intrinsic Impact Study feeds into all of that.
Yeah. You know, I just want to, before we get into the details of that, I just want to point out that one word in your mission statement, the courage is part of what you're supporting. I just think that's really smart, well-framed, and no wonder it's leading to such interesting outcomes for the initiative there. Do you have a sense of this study as something that is going to impact broadly across these initiatives, or is this really, in your mind, something that is, you know, contained within the theater initiative?
Oh, well, I think this particular survey vehicle was for theaters, but I think with a little modification, it would work very well for the other performing arts as well. And I really am interested how it might be modified a bit more for art museums and heritage sites, and particularly for independent artists who want to get to know their audiences better and how the audiences are responding to their work. And I plan to talk to Alan Brown about that.
Yeah, I find this, there's such big thinking here and such an open terrain of how to interpret it all that it's very exciting. I'm really into this.
It's a massive undertaking, and it is exciting. I think we're looking at audience response with much more depth as a result of this survey. You know, previously there were comments on house managers' reports. Well, I know of one artistic director in Philadelphia who attends every single performance and gives a curtain speech, and then afterwards she's standing near the door, near the exit, and talking to patrons as they leave.
And you should say her name. Let's call out a bright spot there.
A shout out to Sue Atkinson of Bristol Riverside Theater, one of the companies that participated from the Philadelphia area in it. And then other theaters have, you know, staff members with flip cameras getting audience feedback. But what they were reaching is the most accessible and possibly the most opinionated, either pro and con, about a production. And often the comments they were getting were sound bites.
Yeah. And all pretty much marketing. In the case of the flip cam stuff,
it's
really trolling
was
for blurbs, right, for
I think so. And they were getting a sense of audience response, but not a deep understanding. And so about a year and a half to 2 years ago, when Margie Silvante, who's the executive director of the Theater Alliance of Greater Philadelphia, that's our local service organization, she knew about the national study and knew it was going to be done in five other communities and really wanted to get Philadelphia involved and needed to raise funds to make that possible. And so she approached the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage to provide that support. And mm-hmm. we're really happy to do so. We knew the work of Wolf Brown from the work that they did with the major university presenters.
Right.
The Annenberg Center in our community had participated in that. And they had also...
They call them the MUPs, right?
That's call them the MUPs, it's true. They like that acronym.
Yes, they call themselves the MUPs.
They do.
And the MUPs
absolutely
are doing good
do.
Work.
And Wolf Brown had also worked with the Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance on a cultural engagement index, which is part of their 2020 initiative.
Yeah.
And so we knew their really good work. And then I had the opportunity to look at the survey protocols, and I was mm-hmm. really quite pleased that they were going to be putting paper surveys on seats and that they were going to get a random response from audience members, that they weren't going to be hearing just from ticket buyers. And I also had a chance to look at the survey template and the types of questions they were going to be asking, and they were really quite sophisticated, as one would expect. And they were going after particular information in multiple ways just to be sure that they would get it.
Mm-hmm.
In our community, and I think in the others, not I think, I know in the others that participated, the survey was customized for the individual theaters.
Right. I participated in the customizing of the one for Arena, actually.
Great. And I didn't participate, but the people at People's Light were very generous, and they invited me to attend their customizing session. So
mm-hmm.
I saw how it was done as well. And you could see that the individual theaters were going to receive statistically significant information that could be particularly useful for them. They were collecting data that they wanted for their various purposes. Another, I thought, important aspect of the design was that staff members would also take the survey and indicate how they expected audience members to respond to the particular productions. And you probably did that, David.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so then, in assessing the production, you know, the staff could see how their expectations align with the actual audience response. And if there were a significant discrepancy, for example, there could be discussion about why those discrepancies might have happened and whether a theater should do something differently in the future.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I think that's my experience of this study thus far, and of course we're all just learning, and I'm so eager to hear what you're learning, but the most striking thing for me in the data thus far is the distance between our theater's perception of what the impact on the audience was going to be and what the audience described the impact to be, and also what the audience described what they were looking for to be. You know, in the customization process, we were able to kind of get at what were you expecting when you came in, and then what did you take away with you. And in both cases, the places we diverged in what we thought was going to happen from what the audience reveals about itself, and then those moments when we were together, where we absolutely predicted both what they expected and what they got. There's so much knowledge to be gained in there. It was really remarkable to think about how that gets used to tune up what we're thinking as we make these artistic selections and as we move through the process of producing.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you look at the motivation, and that could have real relevance for marketing in the future. Are you presenting the play in a way that is helpful to audience members? Are they making the choices that you expect them to make?
Our choices based in true relationship to our audience. I think some of what we were discovering was that we would make a choice and then validate it by saying, this is going to reach X audience, or it's going to reach X audience in Y way. And finding that that was actually just a way to rationalize the artistic choice in certain cases. It wasn't actually the exchange that happened between the stage and the audience, nor was it their expectation coming in that it would be. That's as much learning for me as someone who's an artistic, a program planner, as it is for somebody who's trying to market that.
And I think there can be relevance for the education staff as well.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things these surveys can address are the questions, the unanswered questions that audience members have. And if they're leaving with certain questions, are there ways that you can help them get the answers that they're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Can the intellectual stimulation continue past the performance and then result in more lasting impact? And so that's another way that this data can be used.
People, initial responses that I've seen, we did a Howl yesterday on, because we're talking on Wednesday, we did the weekly Howl yesterday, and there were a number of concerns about, this is just going to give a new tool for pandering in the artistic choices and a new tool for new spin machine for the marketing departments. What's your sense of that as a fear, that this is somehow going to lead to less risk and more finger in the air, trying to let the audience tell you what to program kind of behavior?
Oh, I don't see that at all. In Philadelphia, I sat in on a meeting that happened last week for the three theaters that participated. And they did not think that it would directly impact their programming, but it could help them in other ways to really know who their audience are, what their expectations are, and how they can have a deeper relationship and provide perhaps surrounding events that give added resonance to the productions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're trying to land with an audience, and if there is confusion
right.
in a particular production, why is that the case? If it's a new play, it's not necessarily complete at the first outing. Were there questions that were not truly answered? This could be useful to a playwright, if you decide to pass them along. And it's not saying you must do rewrites, but, this is how our audience responded. This is where they were confused. Take this information, and it could be helpful to you.
Yeah, and I see it going the other way, even looking at the data on Ruined for Lynn Nottage that happened both here at Arena and at Berkeley Rep. Both of our theaters, we did separate productions, but both of our theaters happened to include it in the study. So there's this really interesting data there now of two separate productions, very different, ours in the Round, theirs in Proscenium Space, ours in D.C., theirs in, Berkeley, that these different productions, the impact graphs are almost identical. And so it's not even just and in both cases, I think, well, I only speak for our staff, but here at Arena, both the artistic staff and the marketing staff had more fear and more risk. we associated more risk with it than the audience did, and which was interesting.
Sorry, David, I interrupted.
No, just one quick thing. That I think one thing that it gives a playwright like Lynn, in this case, she can show this impact graph and say, you can get over your own nervousness institution about how to talk to your audience about this or even when to program this. So it's not even just about how to make the play stronger. It's also about how to make the case for the strength of the choice. Your audience can handle it. Go ahead and take the risk.
There's a case in Philadelphia, and I'm going to be a little vague about it because I think the individual theater can talk about their own data. They shared it with me, but I don't know that they want me to broadcast it. And one of the plays in the survey had foul language, had a lot of four-letter words. And
mm-hmm.
often they get emails about it. But in the case of the survey, that didn't seem to be an issue. And this was, a random survey. They were hearing from a much broader part of their audience. And they hadn't programmed this particular play for high school audiences. And they started thinking, well, maybe we could have, and maybe we don't have to be quite as careful as we have been in the past. So as you saw with Ruined, this is another case where it could lead to actually opening up, to showing a bit more courage than in the past.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things in our own data, we put a production in that we thought was going to be challenging content for people probably having where people would have an emotional response to it, either one of kind of agitation around social justice issues or an emotional kind of, five hanky kind of ending, kind of thing. And so we were all on that side of it and supporting the issue-based track inside the play, and everything about producing it as we were going through it, that was what we were doing. And it was a new play. It was the first time we did it, first time it had been done. And during the rehearsal process, we were really focused on this, landing the social content of the play. And the first preview, it played as though it was a farce. It played like noises off. It was the funniest, the audience had the funniest night at the theater they'd had probably in their lives, and we were horrified. And so we kept working at trying to land it on this social content level. And we never did it. It just ran as a comedy, and it ran very well. It ran as a comedy. And then when I saw the data, you look at the audience expectation, and they were coming because they knew the source material, and the source material had entertained them.
Uh-huh.
And so they wanted to be entertained again, and they got that. 100% got that. And so they were very happy. And in the producing world, we were really unhappy until we surrendered to it, that this is what the experience is going to be. It was such a lesson for me. I have this, I work in this world of a conversation with the audience, and they didn't want to talk about what I was talking about at all, but they found what they wanted to talk about in the theater, and they were thrilled. And they walked away happy, 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 and I was standing there with egg on my, politically correct face.
And I think that's so important, because we've all been making assumptions.
Yep.
And this is going to give us information about how the audience actually responds. Sorry, I need a sip of water.
Well, while you do that, I want to ask you to think about the other area where people expressed concerns yesterday was that this is going to become yet another way for funders to drive behavior, the artistic behaviors of organizations, that this tool somehow is, in the wrong hands now, going to be creating yet another set of hoops for people who want to make art to jump through to justify themselves. And so I know that's not in any way part of your
interest? Not at all.
It's
going to help theater companies to make a better case for the work that they're doing. I mean, look at what we have now. We have audience numbers. Are you meeting your audience goals? We have information about demographics. Are you reaching the people you hoped to reach? We can assess the success of productions by the critical reviews a production receives. If it's a new play, we can see if it's going to have additional life elsewhere. These are all measures of success. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, we ask the artistic leader of a project to write a critical essay about whether or not the production experience reached or achieved the expectations and achieved all that the theater set out to achieve. And we've gotten some very, very frank responses to that. But in terms of how it was landing with an audience, all we were getting was pretty much anecdotes. And now there is possibility of a much more nuanced understanding, such as the understanding of the audience at Arena that you mentioned just moments ago, how the audience responded. Were they captivated by the performance that they saw? Were they absorbed in it? Was it intellectually stimulating? Did the production, trigger thoughts about art, about issues, about did it cause critical reflection? Right. Did the experience have emotional resonance for them?
Right. And what's so exciting to me about every one of these values that you just mentioned is that they can be achieved on 12 cents or $12 million budgets. You know, you can actually do every one of those things regardless of size. In most of the measures that we have right now, that's not true. If you have a 49-seat theater and you're in the same pool as a 900-seat theater, even though your numbers are good for your goals, your numbers can't tell the story with the same weight that a 900-seat theater is telling the story.
Absolutely. That's right. I mean, if you're in a 99-seat theater, if the audience members see each other, I mean, you could have an even stronger, you know, response in terms of the relationship of one audience member to another.
Mm-hmm.
What I think in the survey is called social bonding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, feeling part of the audience. You're there having a shared experience. What does that mean? And you're absolutely right. It happens in all size houses and, you know, all types of theaters.
Yeah.
And you don't have the same goals for every single production. And I, as a funder, recognize that.
Really critical. Let's say that again, because that I think that's also a place where people are afraid.
Same goal for every production.
Right.
If you are
because
doing
some of
ruin,
them, like social bonding or entertainment, sometimes that's the goal for that production, and other times it's transformational, it's other things, educational.
Exactly. It's how you reach your own goals. That's why comparisons with this data are in many cases not helpful. A
mm-hmm.
theater is judged by how it achieves what it sets out to do. And you can see how well you are doing what you hope to accomplish. And in the season, you have so many different goals for the various productions.
Yeah. So you're going to do, I mean, one of the things that we talked about before we got on officially was this sense of how challenging it is to have a informed response about this without access to the actual data and the survey instruments and kind of spending some time with it. You're hosting
spending a lot of time with it and really mining the data, and because there's so much information here. There's information about all of, you know, of captivation, intellectual stimulation, emotional response. But this particular survey utilized the dashboard, which was an online tool that helped the individual theaters to see and analyze the data. And then they could filter it by particular variables. If they were interested in age differences, they could filter it by age. If they were interested in ticket type, they could filter it so that they could see if subscribers responded differently from the way that individual ticket buyers did. So there's a lot of data, and it really demands a lot of time and expertise. And what we found in Philadelphia, and I have to say that we actually contracted after the survey with Theater Bay Area to bring Wolf Brown back to work with our theaters just so that they would become more experienced in analyzing the data and seeing how they might use it. And what they did is they actually surveyed another production. They did this one online. And then Wolf Brown met individually over the phone with the artistic staff, the management staff, the education staff, and the marketing staff.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those senior theater leaders individually looked at the data, and Wolf Brown provided certain questions to help them do that. They looked at all of the data first, and then they looked at it through assigned filters.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the theater leaders met together and shared points. And it wasn't about reaching consensus. It was about agreeing and disagreeing and having multiple perspectives. And that was, I thought, very, very helpful for them.
Yeah. you're going to host a session on this. They're doing a kind of national tour with this data and this conversation, they being Theater Bay Area and Wolf Brown and the Intrinsic Impact Group. And I guess we should say that the book has just been released, and the book is called Counting New Beans. And I look forward to digging into it. I have an interview in there myself, and I've read a number of the other ones already, but I haven't seen the whole thing. But so you're hosting one of the sessions.
It on March 23rd at the Arden Theater, coffee at 9:30. The presentation will start at 10 o'clock. Alan Brown will report the findings of the national study, and then three representatives from the theaters that participated will be interviewed. If listeners are interested in attending, they should contact Murph Henderson, and her email is mhenderson@pcah.us. That stands for Philadelphia Center for Arts and Heritage.us, and she'd be happy to take your reservation. And there are sessions throughout the country, and I think the contact information, the RSVP information, is posted on Theater Bay Area's website.
Yes, it is, and I will put that link in the actual post when we put this podcast up as well. So if you're listening and you haven't already found your way to it, on the HowlRound site, there is a link to this Theater Bay Area page with all the information on it. And I also think we're hosting it here at Arena on the 22nd, which is the day before you guys, Thursday, March 22nd. And I think that one will stream. So anyone who's listening who's not in the Washington area or the Philadelphia area, I believe New Play TV will have that one from 10 to 1. But I'll put that information in the blog post as well. Yes, to your point, I think it merits spending a tremendous amount of time. You mentioned, you talked about mining the data, which I think is really crucial here. And when I heard you say it, what I heard was minding the data. And I feel like that also represents what's happened to me with this, is that I sit with the data and I let it work in my mind, you know. And it's amazing the ways in which it sparks me to think I've been talking about this. I've been talking about it as tuning my own ear to the conversation I say I'm having with an audience, and the ways in which it's helping me frame an approach to tuning my ear is really powerful.
And I think that's why it's so important for the different leaders in an organization to be talking together about this and learning from each other and gaining each other's perspective, because they each have so much to contribute. I think in the past, audience surveying was the territory of the marketing department, and this work really has ramifications throughout an organization.
Yeah. Well, and the sort of anecdotal, you know, collection of evidence that we've done as a way to try to tell our story, especially for smaller organizations. I spent a long time in a small organization, and trying to compete with the numbers game, which was always debilitating and disadvantaged me as a producer of a small organization, I would try to compete with that with anecdotes from my audience. But anecdotes versus data are just not, that's not a fair match.
I think that's absolutely true. And this data is not only quantitative, but it's also qualitative. And there are some open-ended questions. So you are getting direct comments from audience members. You're just getting a broader range of comments from a broad range of audience members. And that could be very
better
helpful
prompts
in telling the story.
Yes, and better prompts than did you like it, didn't you like it?
And better prompts. I think you're right. I think your answers are as good as your questions are, and you have to be very careful about how you frame them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your support of the work, and really thank you for your time this morning, Fran.
We have a lot of thank yous. I'm just so grateful that Marjorie Salvanti brought this to the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. I'm grateful to Theater Bay Area for having embarked on this important work, and for 19,000 people plus who responded to the surveys. That's mighty impressive.
Yeah.
And For all the theater professionals around the country who spend a lot of time and effort looking at the data. And to you, David, I am a fan of HowlRound. I really enjoy the perspectives that you're offering us, and so I'm glad that I can contribute to that.
Well, thank you very much for that. We're all happy to have you in the audience of that, for sure. All right. I'll let you
thank
get to
you,
your
David.
Day. And thank you. Talk to you soon.
You have a good day, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.